The meditation will reflect upon all three readings, but to start, I reread from John chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the part that we are thinking about this evening from the explanation of the second article of the Creed is, I believe that Jesus Christ is true God, begotten of the Father from eternity. Right there in that phrase is everything, all the points that we'll unpack tonight. He is begotten from the Father from eternity. So he and the Father, the Son and the Father, have this eternal relationship between them. One God, two distinct persons, Father and Son, from eternity, we say in the explanation of the Creed. Sometimes we may think, and in my mind, too, sometimes I think God is from eternity. He has all things planned out for me. And I'm thinking of God the Father. And that's not wrong. That's right. But we remember that God the Son is also from eternity. God the Son has also all planned out all things. God the Son also has elected us from the foundation of the world. And so God the Son is intimately involved in our lives in the Old Testament readings, and certainly, as we'll think more next week, born of the Virgin Mary. He's begotten from the Father from eternity, forever, forever in the past. He's always had this relationship with the Father. We can say it with our mouth. We understand the words, but the depth of that meaning, that's a mystery. But that's what Scripture teaches us. And what we know and confess and are taught in Scripture about Jesus is he has these two natures, the Son of God. The Son of God, and also he was incarnate, took on human flesh. The Son of God is begotten of the Father from eternity. That nature of Christ is from forever. The Son of Mary, true man, that had a beginning. That taking on human flesh began at Jesus' conception. But so what we're thinking about tonight is this Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. The triune God's qualities, his mercy, his love, his all-powerfulness, his, do you remember the term for all-knowing, omniscience? All these qualities of God are the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit belong to all of them. So when we confess these things about God the Father, we confess these about God the Son as well. And we're going to think about God the Son and what we're taught about him as the Son of God in these several scripture passages. In Isaiah, we know that God has known his people from the beginning. His people elected. He knew Abraham from the beginning. He knew them, Adam and Eve, from the beginning. He knows us from the beginning. He says in Isaiah chapter 2, or 44, verse 2, thus says the Lord who made you, who formed you from the womb and will help you. The Father formed Israel, and so did the Son. They both have formed Israel. And so it's important for us to see the Son of God was always also involved in the plan of salvation. The Son of God also has chosen us. Verse 3, or the end of verse 2, it says, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. God has chosen us. And remember what Jesus said to his disciples, you have not chosen me, but I chose you. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has known us from the beginning, has known us from our conception, our beginning, and that was our beginning. By the way, this Jeshurun, that word, that proper name there, it only occurs twice in Scripture. I said, if I don't know this, then I don't know if anybody else will know this. So I looked it up. It means in the Hebrew, little beloved one. It's a beloved one, but it has a diminutive ending, the little one, the little beloved one. It's his dear little beloved one. So Israel, God's people, are his little beloved one. The Son of God and God the Father gives his Spirit to the people. In verse 3 there of Isaiah 44, he says, I will pour my Spirit upon your offspring and my blessing on your descendants. And so that is both that process, that blessing, that outpouring of the Spirit is sent from the Father, but it's also sent from the Son of God. And Jesus talks like this. Remember in the New Testament, he says, my Father will send the Spirit, but he says also, I will send the Spirit. It's both the Father and the Son sending the Spirit to his people. The Son of God knows us, formed us, chose us, sends the Holy Spirit to us. The Son of God buys back his people. You know that word, don't you? Redeemer, to buy back. It's interesting in verse 6 there, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. The Father and the Son are both involved there. Remember, the Father sent the Son to be the Redeemer. That is a clear teaching in the New Testament. That was always God's plan. God the Son was always in the plan that finally God's people would be redeemed by the Son of God taking on human flesh and dying on a cross to be their sacrifice. The Son of God was involved in this as well in the Old Testament, this plan. And in verse 6 also there from Isaiah 44, it says, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God. Do you remember in the Revelation Bible study, I am the first and I am the last. It was said about the Father, and then it was also said about the Son towards the end of Revelation. The first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. This is the Son, as well as the Father. So God knows us. The Son of God knows us, as well as the Father and the Spirit. He knows us. He chooses us. He sends us his Spirit. He redeems us. The Son of God is specifically the Redeemer. And the Son of God is the first and the last. I knew I was going to talk about John chapter 1 a little bit. It's so plain there that Jesus is equal with the Father and always present with the Father at the beginning and part of the creating of the world. But I was thinking, where's another passage that talks about Jesus' blessing and his power as creator, as the Son of God? And this passage came to mind in Acts. When Paul had this, God performed, did this miracle through Paul's announcement, you know, walk, get up, stand upright on your feet. And the people thought that Paul and Barnabas were Greek gods, Zeus and Hermes. And you can see they were doing it kind of like they were. It's saying they were speaking in Laconian. So they didn't hear what the people were seeing. They didn't know what they're doing. And it says there in, verse 14. But when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they're gathering together the oxen to sacrifice to them. It's like they're off there. It's like, oh, we got to get organized, you know. And notice they had the temple of Zeus in that town. Hey, Zeus is here. We have his temple. We need to have a sacrifice. And so they're organizing their sacrifice to sacrifice to Paul and Barnabas. And Paul and Barnabas tore their clothes. Then, no, we're like you. We're humans. But we have good news. We have a message from God that you should turn from these vain things, not these idols that you've made up in your mind, but vain things to a living God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. And what do we hear in John chapter 1 in just a moment in the gospel reading? That everything that was made also through the Word. Everything that was a blessing to the Laconians and their ancestors were blessings to them from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So don't sacrifice to us. And that's just one example of how God's Son has blessed all peoples through the creation. Through, as Paul says, for he did good by giving you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. This is God the Son and God the Father and God the Spirit giving us these good things. And he doesn't, as it says in other places in Scripture, in these gifts, he doesn't favor certain people. He sends the rain and the sunshine on the good and the evil. He gives these good things to all people. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 is very clear. There are two persons that John is talking about, the Word and God. They're distinct, but also it says that the Word was God. They're the same. One God, two persons, and the Spirit isn't mentioned here, three persons. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. And this is very much specifically talking about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The Father's plan is that people would believe in Jesus Christ and have this life and this light from him. John 3:16, our well-known verse that we memorize. And you know, it used to be put up in football stadiums so much. Remember that? People would hang up John 3:16, and I don't see that so much anymore. John 3:16, people would put it up. And for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is God the Father's plan, that he sent his Son, and so that people would believe in the Son and have life in the Son. This is what John chapter 1 is saying. Might have life in his name. All things were made through the Son. And we also know the Father and the Spirit. And this true life is in the Son. When we confess that Jesus Christ is the true Son of God, we are confessing that he has created all things, that we find our life now on earth in him. So there's nothing in this earthly life that is unknown to the Son of God, that is unknown to Jesus. He knows all things. We know this as Christians. I'm not telling you something you haven't heard and believed for so many years of your life. But to say that, and to say that distinctly and clearly, is not what the world says. It's not what unbelievers know. Even unbelievers might offer sacrifices to people. And don't we even do that today? People get honor and glory in various parts of our culture. But we know that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he knows all things, and that his power is beyond anything else in this world, because he created this world. He is the Son of God. That is our confession. And that true life, which extends beyond the grave, that is also found in his name. He is the Son of God. And you can make the applications in so many places in your own lives. He knows everything of this life. He has power over everything in this life. And he gives me life that goes beyond the grave. He is the Son of God. And thus, nothing is honored or worshiped or trusted more than the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the one on which everything hangs. Everything is attached. What did Jesus say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Remain in me and I in you. He wants us attached and remaining to him because he is our life. And he takes us through this life into everlasting life. He is true God, the true Son of God, begotten of the Father from eternity. We pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, we give honor and praise, and we trust in you as the Son of God, as our Redeemer. And we ask you to always build up our faith in you, that you have been sent by the Father, that our life rests in you. And continue to send us your Holy Spirit, that our faith would not grow weak or wane no matter what happens, but continue to look and trust in you. All these things, Jesus, we pray in your name, you who are God with the Father and the Holy Spirit. Amen.